Hello and welcome to Questcast, your weekly adventure through games. So we missed last week, so we got a lot to talk about this week, from games coming out, to industry stuff, to people or companies buying other companies. With us today is Kieran, myself, and Caitlin, the usual duo. So let's get right into it. I showed you a game earlier, Caitlin, Unholy. It's a psychological... A horror game, horror? Survival horror, I'd call it.
Mm.
The trailer didn't show much, but if you go into the description of the game,
mm-hmm.
it says that you're playing as a mother trying to find her daughter. It kind of reminds me of We Happy Few, because there's like the effect of there's like towns and stuff in it, which wasn't portrayed in the trailer at all.
Mm.
But you have to maintain or battle the effects of your mental stability and kind of your fear of the whole situation you're in. And if you don't deal with that, you have to deal with the consequences of going insane.
Yeah.
So that really reminds me of We Happy Few. Other than that, it looks right. It is meant to be a stealth survival game, so I don't think you can do much fighting yourself. From what I have read/understand.
Yep.
Which I think works better, because if you can fight yourself, it makes it less scary sometimes.
Because
like games like with Resident Evil, I'll walk around and I'll just have a shotgun and I don't feel anything.
Right.
Because I'm dead inside.
Okay. That means something else, but sure.
But like I'm not scared of what's going to come around the corner. Right. I might get pissed off at it if it doesn't die, but like
yes.
You would probably run away a lot of the time.
That's not what we're focusing on. Right. So, yeah, continue.
So, like, this takes that control out of it. You're just like, I guess I would be scared a different way. I'd be like, oh, can I make it before that thing catches me?
Yeah.
Whereas some people would legitimately be scared.
I don't think it would be fear. It would be, like, stress, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. Well, for you anyway.
Yeah. So, it's coming out on PC. I'm not sure when. The Steam page said coming soon, so I don't know how if that's like an early 2019 thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, a lovely game called Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I haven't actually looked much into this because we're still going through Origins, but so far the game broke its previous record for like the highest sales in the series for opening week or release or whatever. I'm not surprised. It does look very good. I've seen lots of positive things about it and some weird, weird negative things. Like, I've seen reviews on, like, it should only be the girl character versus why is there a guy character, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
From the gameplay itself, I've seen lots of positive things. The negative things I've seen are just weird people with their strange opinions. So.
Yep. Okay.
That's really good.
Where is this one?
This is the Greek one.
Yeah.
Which I think you'd really like.
Maybe.
A friend of mine got the one of the collector's editions. The fact that there's so many collector's editions boggles my mind.
Mm.
But he got one of them. It came in a pretty big, nice box. It came with... This really annoys me. It came with a download code for all the extra stuff, which is fine.
Mm.
The CD by itself in like a sleeve, and then the case, because it was a metal case instead of like the normal Xbox like or PS4, whatever.
Special tin thing.
Yeah, so instead of shipping the special case with the game, because that would have been a little bit more effort, they shipped the disc by itself in like a sleeve and whatever collector's edition version you got case. Which,
oh, okay. So, like, so that they could mass send out the discs
yep.
to whoever, and yep. then
they put the case that you've got
and
with
then
your edition.
Change it depending on, yeah, change the case depending.
I don't know if that's for all of them. I only noticed this based on his, and I don't see why they would make it special for his. So,
it's interesting.
I've seen it before. It's,
I mean, it's just efficiency, there's nothing more to it than that.
I get that it's efficiency, but they can still mass produce, like, whoever packs all the stuff into the crate could pack it properly. Well, not pack it properly. Like, they could foresee this and put, like, oh, we'll put the disc in the thing. I understand from their business point why they're doing it. Just from a customer's experience point, they're really screwing up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, we've already said it, I guess. Like, it's also so that, like, you know, they can use those discs for other things, like for regular versions if need be. Like,
oh, no, I'm still saying,
you know what I mean? Should, yeah. Like, it's not just because they're being lazy. It's like, well, it makes sense because if you have all these prepackaged, like, collector's editions and then the collector's editions don't sell or whatever, like, then you have to go to the effort of unpacking the discs and repacking them for something else. Whereas if you just have the discs separately, you can use them for whatever.
Yeah. Well, my point is, like, if you buy a game, if you're buying a physical copy, you kind of want that opening the case experience because, let's face it, you're not putting the disc in to actually play the game. You still have to download 90% of it these days. Yeah. So, like, they
I kind of miss those days where it's like,
you could just put the disc in
and play. You open it up and you put the disc in.
I really miss it. Like,
because like,
we play Steam like games and GOG games and all that kind of stuff. We'd never get that feeling.
I love the
going to a game, like, we still do it with Nintendo games, going to a game store.
Well, no, that, but I meant I love the convenience of Steam in that no matter what game I feel like playing, like, if I turn on my computer, it's there. I can just click it and play it.
Yep.
I don't have to go to, like, my you know, box of games and shuffle through my games and find the one that I want.
What I always hated is, like, if you had a game you hadn't played in a while and you'd be like, where is it?
Yeah. Also, is it in its case? Is it playable? Have I crushed it under something? And then there's that whole, do I own this game?
Yeah.
I think I do. I remember wanting it. I remember liking it. But I could have just played it at a friend's house.
Yep.
Yeah, so I like that part of Steam, but there is definitely some nostalgia to the whole opening up, seeing the game disc art, you know, for the first time.
Yeah.
And seeing what they did with that. And
it's very much more business-like.
And that stressful part where you, like, the CD doesn't pop out quite easily, so you're, like, having to pull it and bend it a little bit, and then you're like, don't yeah. snap, don't snap.
Oh, you snapped. So
never snapped one.
Yeah, neither have I. They're probably pretty sturdy.
Yeah. You'd have to be trying.
Yeah, you'd have to try. So, well, my point is you could, when it's getting, I know that you made the counterpoint to this already, but when it's getting packaged, you're like, oh, this is the collector's edition. We'll put the CD in this and then put it into the collector's box that's getting shipped. Because they're not going to get them shipped back to unpack them and then put them into regular games. Let's face it. They make, like, a limited amount of this collector's edition stuff for that reason. So, yeah, it is what
know.
It is.
I don't know.
We'll talk more about the game size and downloading games with a disc later, because I've got
we'll talk more about game packaging.
We will
for 3 hours.
I have another instance of it.
We have oddly specific opinions about game packaging.
Yes.
Anyway,
Walking Dead final season. So Skybound Games have reached a deal with Telltale to continue the development of the last title.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really good. I like that there was companies that wanted to finish off the season. I like that they, as shitty as their situation was with their staff and everything, they are trying to find someone to take on the project to.
Well, what? I mean, I, like, you could look at that as many different ways. Like, there's a high chance that they probably have a lot of
debt
that they need to pay, and in theory, a lot of employees that they need to pay out. And I'm pretty sure this is, like, okay, no. Maybe they're doing it for the right reasons, maybe not, but I'm 100% certain that they needed the money that they would be getting from this. And, like, there's a huge incentive for them to do this.
There probably is a huge incentive. It probably is a lot of work to get it done that way, though, because I'm not sure what their license agreement, because their license agreement with whoever owns The Walking Dead might be that they're the only ones that can work on the project. Like, it could be a lot of actual work to get it to another studio, but it is just good for the fans that they get to see the game finished.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm not I haven't even finished season two, I think, but it's just good.
I actually want to download and start playing him again.
Did all this news bring up like I feel like playing it?
Pretty much. Yeah, which is, you know.
Sad.
Yeah, saying something, I guess.
Yeah, it's...
It's like, oh, you're just like that forgotten thing until you become relevant again. And like, yeah, this could have got them like a hell of a lot more gameplay.
It could have.
If only they'd like done more.
Yeah, well, they dug their own grave here. But for people not digging their own graves, because they're only a one-person team, RimWorld 1.0 comes out in 2 days, because this is the 15th of October, and it comes out on the 17th of October.
1.0.
Yeah, so it's actually at, like, the fully completed thing. He has mentioned in the... So Tynan, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that correctly, says that this marks the final version of the product.
So what, no more updates?
He doesn't plan to do any updates for a while. He may go back to it. He may go back to it sooner than he thinks. It depends, like, what he feels like. He's just felt like... the vibe I got from the post was that, you know, he spent a lot of years on this product and he kind of needs a break.
He's done, yeah.
He's not, like, he still loves the project. He still wants to work on it. He still, you know, he still cares about it. There'll still be, like, bug fixes if that needs doing that kind of stuff. There'll still be support for it. It's just he's not going to actively develop it any further than this as of yet. Which is fine.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I can only imagine as one person working on the same product for 4 years or... Well, no, it came out, what, like four years ago. He probably worked on it like 4 years before that. Like, he's put a significant chunk of his life into it.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a good game, though. But 1.0 doesn't actually have much new features in it. There's like very few, actually. It's mostly like polishing off, balancing, bug fixes, everything that would make it a final product, which is good. I will definitely go play or give 1.0 a go and see how far I can get through that. Nice. I like games like this, RimWorld, Stardew Valley, where it's made by just some passionate person, and it just seems to be more polished and more unique than like so many other games that come out.
Yeah,
it amazes me that like one person can kind of see this kind of stuff through, whereas like AAA games can't like even release something that doesn't crash every 5 minutes. Or AAA company, sorry. I don't understand. It should be the other way around, but it's not. And like, I understand how game development works, and I still think it should be the other way around, and it's not.
Yeah. I don't know.
No. Explore that fact. What don't you know? Why do you say that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just, like, I guess in this case, like, a one-person show, you know, like, they set their own deadlines, really.
Yeah, they do.
So they can push out, you know, and work on something for as long as they want to work on it for. But, like, you know, bigger AAA companies and stuff don't have that luxury. And they obviously have to be producing stuff, you know, within deadlines to, you know, be performing and
to not have to fire all your staff.
You've got other people dependent on you making money in order to get paid. You've got a higher base of like customer demand. You know, you've got other, you're competing with a much higher threshold of other, you know, companies and stuff who are also like pumping out stuff, so you've got to keep competitive with them. I just think there's a lot more pressure on the AAA companies.
No, I do get that. I do get all that. I'm
not necessarily excusing some of the shit that has come out, but like it's understandable that they can't necessarily pump out a completely polished game.
Well, it just makes me think of, like, CD Projekt Red, who, like, kept working on The Witcher 1 and... No, sorry, or was it The Witcher 2? One of them, like, they kept working on it and kept doing patch releases after, like, it came out for so long. Like, for a AAA company, they really cared about their product.
Yeah.
If you're going to follow up with it and...
But if you're going to follow up with it and, like, see it through, you know, and fix the shit that needs to be fixed after release, then that's something. But yeah, I think there's also the fact that, like, back in the day, like, there was a limited amount of technology, right?
Yep.
And a limited amount that you could really do with games.
Mm-hmm.
So these days, like, shit is so more complex that it's, like, it's harder to refine, I would say.
I think they care less. I'll explain why in a bit.
Well, I'm not saying they don't care less, but I'm saying, like, at this point, like, stuff is so complicated and things interact, objects in games interact with other things, like, just way more complexly than they used to.
Yeah.
It used to be, like, you had your scene sort of thing, you know, and you had your, like, one or two things that you could interact with, and then, like, that was it.
No,
So the potential for bugs is a lot higher as well. But I do agree that there is sort of, like, it's starting to become less a work of passion for, like, yes, in this industry.
All right, we'll move on, but I do want to bring up some stuff later when we go to our talking points. Cyberpunk 2077. They enlisted a studio that worked on the Dying Light multiplayer to work on multiplayer for Cyberpunk. So they have said that they're still, the first thing that's getting released will be the single player. So it's not like you'll be having to interact. Nobody knows yet that once multiplayer comes out, are you forced to be in the world with everybody else? Can you still do single player?
Mm.
None of that's out. My thought will be, if single player is coming out first, there's always going to be the option of just playing it single player. Why would they add something later and force everyone to do it?
Yeah, it'd be weird.
Do it that way.
And if their focus was going to be on, like, we are a multiplayer game, then why release a single player version?
Exactly. I think this will be a, there might be, like, some new missions. They might do, like, an expansion that's, like, a multiplayer area, or they might add something to the game with it being multiplayer,
mm-hmm.
but there'll still always be the single player aspect to it if you want it that way.
Yep.
Because they're, well, CD Projekt Red are very pro you having the game how you want, kind of crap, DRM free, all that jazz, which is good. I like that. Yep. And yeah.
Cool.
I love CD Projekt Red. So The Sims 4, I think we're up to expansion 47. The Sims 4 Get Famous comes out November 16th on PC, unsurprisingly.
Woo!
Now, which one? Was it The Sims 2 that had Star something? Like, there was basically whatever this Get Famous one is.
There was, like, a movie. Ugh. So, yeah, I know what you mean. Because
that's all they do. They release the game again with new graphics and then re-release all the expansions.
Well, to be fair, like, there's only so many sort of expansions, like, themes that you can touch on. Like, obviously, if you have a new Sims game, you're going to want pets, because you had pets in the last one, you want pets in this one.
Yes, I understand that.
They've also, like, blended in a lot of the old expansion packs into just the general game.
No, they did not.
Like,
they took stuff
out. Hot Date in, like, the first Sims. Now you can just, like, you have hot tubs and you have, like, stuff like that. There's no Hot Date equivalent now in the expansions. I don't believe.
No, I think there would be, because Hot Date was about, like, actually having... Oh, no, I agree with you. Sorry, I do agree with you. Because Hot Date was when you actually went out on a date and it had, like, the date meter and stuff. They have that kind of stuff already in the game.
Yeah.
But they took things out, like swimming pools.
Yeah, that was a very shit move on their...
Like...
On their part.
So, that just annoys me. Yeah, they took, like, the open world part of it out of The Sims 4. And they said it was for, can't remember what reasons they said it for. It was, like, performance, so the most people can play the game. I'm like, well, everyone played The Sims 3 and liked it. Like, this was probably more of a laziness thing.
Mm.
It was harder to work on, so we wanted something easier to work on.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I actually might think I might get it. It looks fun.
So, Sims 3 had Showtime?
I think that might be the one. That sounds like the one. Is that, yeah, you became an actor or actress or an actorio? I don't know what an actorio is.
Let's see.
But yeah, the whole point of Get Famous is you become like a movie star. You start in shitty commercials. It looks like it might be fun. The only problem I still have with The Sims is that it still has the neighborhood issue where like your neighborhood eventually just becomes a ghost town. Because it's not a living, it's not a proper living neighborhood.
I've never played anything.
Long enough?
Long enough for that to be an issue.
That hurts me. Because, like, I love making, like, I want to make a dynasty, I guess, and, like, build up a castle. Because you like just getting all the money and building the house out straight away. Whereas I like to actually play the game.
That's not true.
Well, every time I've seen you do it,
I made our house.
Fair enough.
For us to move into. But every other time, I, like, start a family and I build them up.
All right.
You don't know me.
I'm talking about the one time I saw you play it. All right. No, but I might actually download it and actually get the new one. It looks like it'll be fun for 2 days because that's how you Sims. You'd get it, you download it for 2 days, then you don't touch it for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like this,
you play hardcore intently.
Yeah.
Like
you go to work, you come home from work, you play Sims until you go to bed. You do that for 3 days, and then you don't touch The Sims again for a very long time.
Exactly.
And people are like, oh, I haven't talked to you in a few days. Like playing The Sims, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And everyone understands.
Understandable.
No one questions it.
That's my point. Like, I play it for 3 days. I don't have, like, there's just not enough gameplay there for me to make a ghost town.
See,
and then every time I play, every time I revisit the game, I want a new family.
See, I play it till it is a ghost town, and that's when I stop playing because I'm like, well, the city's ruined.
This is dead to me.
Basically, yeah. All right. It makes me sad. That's all I'm saying. So Showtime was the one that...
I'm just double checking. I think it is.
So you think?
Gameplay.
Because I imagine it would be.
Yeah, star performers on tour.
Yeah, that's
perform long. Special shows.
Oh, I think you could become a... No, was that maybe doing... No, I think it was both. You could become an actor or like a singer or a performer. Yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah. You could be a DJ.
I guess Get Famous will be the same. I saw the doing commercials and stuff, so I was thinking film person, but you can probably get famous a bunch of other ways.
You could be a singer, acrobat, magician.
Can you be a socialite? Can you just become like a famous groupie?
Oh my God, that would be funny.
Let's do it. All right. So Amazon New World, they released a gameplay trailer, which was not a gameplay trailer. It was some dude walking through six
a
different...
A running simulator.
Yeah. It was, what Death Stranded? Death Stranding, whatever that game is, where the carrying simulator.
Oh, yeah, carrying.
It's like that, but the running simulator.
Yeah.
So it was very beautiful environments, and it's an MMO. They're going to – I think you can build anywhere kind of thing. Like it's, from what I understand, going to be like the Star Citizen of the fantasy world.
Right.
I don't know, though. This is just based on like the small snippets I've read of like rumors and stuff like that.
I don't have high hopes for it.
Gotta
say.
I have high hopes from it from like an infrastructure level. Like I don't like the game doesn't actually interest me at all. It interests me because it's Amazon. So I'm like, you might actually have some amazing like MMO technology that other games should use, but like you're showcasing it with this.
But if you're releasing like a gameplay trailer... Or whatever.
I think it should have some gameplay in it. That was terrible.
Like this was, look at all the pretty environment that we've made that you clearly don't interact with at all because we haven't done that.
There was no interaction. Like I think I would have waited like 2 months to release that with some actual thing besides
some other
running.
Yeah.
One other mechanic would have like entirely
any
made
sort of interaction with the world so that you know, yes, in fact, you can actually interact with the world.
I have all hopes, well, not all hopes, I have all belief that they will have it so it's interactable. I think they were just excited to get something out there and they
maybe,
didn't
but
not
God
think it
damn.
Through.
Even I would just be in that department going, oh, I don't know that people want to see this.
Well, I was excited to see it. Then I watched it. I was instantly like, oh.
Yeah, and that's not the reaction you want people to be having when they like see footage of your game.
Yes, it probably did.
That is not a feeling that should be associated with your game that you're trying to pump out and, like, get the hype up about.
I agree. I very much agree. I'll keep reading more about it, and I'll talk about it as it comes up. But as of now, yeah, they need to get better at that stuff. They
do better.
Apparently not a marketing company.
It's not like, well, it's not like Amazon don't fucking market.
That's true. I get their ads come all on. The time because I use AWS sparingly. All right, Pokemon, let's go. Let's go.
Away.
Away. It's for Switch. It is like the next version of the Pokemon series. There's Pikachu and Eevee. From what I can tell, you can get any Pokemon out. Like, you can go get your Bulbasaur out and stuff. But the...
Sounds so dirty. Get your Bulbasaur out.
Has she seen your Bulbasaur yet? Has she seen your Squirtle yet is what it is.
Ew.
So, but if your Eevee and your Pikachu, like, hang out on your body and, like, that sounds gross as well.
Yeah,
but, like,
can we not?
Like, they'll do, like, what they do on, like, when Ash Ketchum has, like, Pikachu will sit on your shoulder and stuff like that. Which, I don't know, seems like it's a bit overkill.
It was something that we wanted from, like, the second generation of game, like, of the series. And they're just giving it to us now, which, like, come on.
I agree.
We had it with Pikachu.
Yeah, I don't know why. With the yellow version. Like, it didn't seem like that hard of a thing to keep in all the games, but...
Like, just do it,
anyway.
Dickheads.
Moving forward, there are some other things that look really good in this. You can see the Pokemon that go through the tall grass, I guess, is what it is, or the caves. So you can actually see it and run into them yourselves. Now, what disappoints me is you don't battle them. You just throw Pokeballs at them, and then all your Pokemon get experience whenever you capture a new one.
Boo. Which
I would prefer is if they are taking battling wild Pokemon out, that you only get experience from battling trainers and all that kind of stuff. Because it seems weird to me that you go around just capturing Pokemon just for the sake of gaining experience for your other Pokemon.
Yeah. 100%.
It just seems like I'm like, I've got, let's say there's 400 Pokemon. I've got the 400 Pokemon, but I have to keep capturing more to level up the ones that I have.
Yeah.
There might be other way. Like, they're still battling other trainers, but I don't know if that's enough
that's a point. Like, you can't just go and battle Pokemon and, like,
level up.
Faint them and level up and get experience that way. You have to go and catch them. Because there's no way you can't enter into that, like, interaction without either not catching the Pokemon or catching the Pokemon in this new version, right?
I don't even know if they hurt you.
I doubt they do. I think it's like Pokemon Go where they sit there and either you catch them or eventually they run away. That's my point. Like, yeah, you can't just go grind, like, in the grass for a bit and just
I will say there was too much grinding Pokemon. In Pokemon, but removing the mechanic altogether
feels like that's just going to make it harder, right?
I don't know if it'll make it harder. It might actually just be super easy. And that.
But then you're not, like, this is, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm too stuck in the old Pokemon ways.
I think you might be stuck in the old.
Because, like, I'm thinking, like, no, because the whole point was that if you, like, as you're traveling, right, you get, like, attacked by Pokemon in the grass.
Yep.
And then you can fight them and catch them if you want to catch them. Or you could fight them and knock them out and you'd still get experience points. And then that way you're leveling up as you're traveling, right? Which is generally the best way to do it.
Oh, you still have trainers you'll battle.
Yeah. But let me finish.
Okay.
You know, so that you're not going back and having to grind so much.
Yes.
And then there's, like, obviously the trainers that you meet along the way as well as you're traveling that you battle. If they're taking out the fighting in for the wild Pokemon, you're going to be traveling around and then you're basically going to avoid all of the Pokemon that you don't want to catch.
Yep.
Then you're going to catch the ones that you do want to catch, and your only real, like, proper way of getting XP is going to be to either catch the Pokemon or to fight trainers.
Yes.
And that either they're going to have to scale the way that you, like how easily you level up, so that that is enough.
I reckon they'll scale it.
Or you're going to end up having to catch like 50 of the same fucking Pokemon and waste your Pokeballs on a thing that you didn't want just to get XP for the Pokemon.
Yeah, you might have unlimited Pokeballs.
Who aren't actually doing anything.
Yeah, you might have unlimited Pokeballs.
No, because you don't even have unlimited Pokeballs in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, but this isn't Pokemon Go.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that in it, that is stupid. I don't know.
I think...
Like, it just feels like you're going to have to be catching a lot of the same Pokemon. And then what are you going to do, just keep them in your PC, or are you going to release them?
I think this will have... Because that does sound stupid. I think they'll have a lot more trainers and a lot more...
Well, that's just going to get annoying. Because the whole fun of exploring the world is finding new Pokemon and catching them.
Yes.
The trainers are slightly annoying, but an easy way to level up. That's their use, right?
And you got money from them.
And money, yes. Levels and money, basically. Like, if you make it so that, like, there's trainers everywhere, it's going to make moving around the world, like, really fucking annoying.
Might not be trainers everywhere, but you might be able to, like, you know how, like, in some of the games they had, like, you can battle them again if you wanted to?
Maybe, but even then, that's stupid.
Look, I think they know what they are doing.
I don't think they do. I think they're starting to go off the rails.
Well, they might know what they're doing for, like, a newer audience.
We're not the new audience.
I understand that. We're not the target.
We're the OGs.
Oh, God.
You must pander to us.
But I think... They might want their games to take not as long. They might.
I think they're trying to appeal to a much younger audience now, because that seems less complicated.
Possibly. I don't know.
I think they're trying to suck in the children.
Is it the children who are wrong?
No, it's the children who are out of touch.
Yeah. We won't know until we play it. I'm definitely going to get it and see how it is. From... The 8 minutes that I saw, because we watched the 8 minutes, it was literally someone going around. They did one battle, but other than that, they just went around catching Pokemon. The cool thing was you could see...
Oh, yeah, that was a bit boring after a while.
Like, after 4 minutes, I was just like, so is this all the game is?
Like, show you literally anything else. We know there's more to this.
We hope there's more to this.
Well, there's got to be. If it's going to be a Pokemon game in the, series of Pokemon games that have... come before it, there has to be more to it. Otherwise, they have chunked out, like, a large portion of the game. Like, no towns and... Oh, like, if they did that...
There'll be towns and stuff. There will be all that stuff. Like, the first part of it was, like, Professor Oak saying, blah, 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 and Professor Oak, go run off and do your thing.
Yeah, and then he does that thing where he leaves.
Yeah. So, I think it'll still be majority enjoyable. It just we might find it a bit strange. I think we already find it a bit strange. So we'll keep tabs on that. So yeah, that comes out.
I'm only I haven't completely written it off because I will have my Eevee.
Fair enough. I guess I'll get Pikachu. Yay.
Do you want Eevee?
I don't want either.
Whatever. Yeah, get the Pikachu one, then we've got one of each.
Yeah, exactly. And if they have different Pokemon in them, which they will, because that's how they make money.
Because that's how they love to do it.
Yep.
Sucks to be the only child.
Or, yeah,
like,
it would actually.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because as siblings, you can be like, all right, I'll get this one, you get that one.
Yeah, you can trade, and which is actually fun.
Yeah.
Actually, Pokemon was designed for like a modern family.
Because,
like, it's rare. Not, it's not rare. It is less likely a family has one child than they do two. Statistically.
Yeah. These days. I think people are just having multiples. But. Yeah, because I used to. I had the blue version. My sister had the red version.
Can't believe your sister played Pokemon.
Oh, she barely played it.
I'm not surprised.
I basically
forced her to.
Well, no, I didn't force her to. Like,
catch the damn Pokemon. I'm going.
Actually, no, she did play Red like a fair bit actually, because she really liked the cartoon as well, and she was younger than me, so she was like really into the cartoon.
Can I ask something?
What?
What happened to her? She sounded like she was fun.
I don't know.
All right. Anyway,
I don't know. I guess she just grew up and got different interests.
Yeah.
And then I had. See, we had a big generation gap then because we didn't get any other Pokemon games until Silver and Gold, and she had Gold and I had Silver.
Wasn't that the next one?
No, because there was like Ruby, Red, and
they were after, weren't they?
Sapphire, Green, or something. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they came in between.
No, I'm pretty sure Ruby, Red, and that, because they're remakes of the.
Okay.
Red and Blue.
All right. Well, anyway, and then there was a big gap, and that was when she stopped playing.
Fair enough.
And I got Black. No.
Yeah, like.
Did I get Black or White?
After Gold and Silver, I really tuned out of, like, them.
The Pokemon? Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
I lost. There was, like, other. There's Platinum and something else, I remember.
Fair enough.
Yeah, never played those.
Oh, well.
I bought them, like, a few years ago, in the whole, like, oh, I want to try and play them because I never played them as a kid sort of thing.
But then you're like, this takes a lot of time and I don't have time.
I never got around to it.
Because you're an adult who doesn't have time.
Something like that. So, yeah, I think I bought the Platinum one and I still have it and I have not played it.
Fair enough.
And then Black and White happened. And then Black and White 2 happened.
And then Sun and Moon?
Yep.
I
got Moon?
I got Sun.
Yeah, you got Sun.
We got the opposite ones. Yeah. I don't think either of us finished it.
Nope.
And I
didn't even get close because, yeah.
It wasn't that fun, to be honest. I don't know what it didn't reward you with, but it just didn't feel rewarding. I think that's enough for Pokemon.
No, I want to talk
about Pokemon more. No, so yeah, that's coming out soon. I'll get it.
I'll plow.
I'm not sure what I'm going to think of it because I'm hoping it's still good, but I'll probably just wait for a review because if it's like just this easy kid focused game, I'm like, no, I don't want it at all. Why would I waste money on it? I
still want Eevee.
Yeah, so that's not why I'm getting it.
No, I know. I don't know, man. It feels like we kind of have to.
You have to.
Just.
All right, moving on.
For the nostalgia.
Thronebreaker, The Witcher Tales. So I don't know if they're doing like a series of these, but it's kind of based on like it's like a Gwent adventure game. They just released like 30 minutes of gameplay. It looks really good. It's very, like, it's the Gwent system altered a bit, so they've got, like, more story-related characters for the story of Thronebreaker with special moves and things like that. It looks really good because it's, if you like a Gwent, it's a lot of story and then some Gwent and then a lot of story and then some, like, it's basically that. That's the game loop.
You keep saying Gwent.
The card game in The Witcher.
Oh.
Have you played that?
I haven't played the card game. I've only played dice.
Yeah, because they didn't have that in the first one. Do they have it in the second?
I don't know. In the second? I'm like a portion of the way through the second.
Like it's very heavily in number three.
I'm not surprised if they were introducing it. Maybe they said something about cards. I can't remember.
Maybe. I can't remember.
I if still it's have to finish it. So.
Oh, my God. Please finish it.
I'll get there.
Get there sooner. So Gwent from number three became its own thing. So they made a standalone Gwent game because everyone loved Gwent so much. And now they're making like story based games using the system. Stop saying
Gwent.
Gwent.
Anyway.
So yeah, that's going. I'm not going to give away any of the story because that'd be rude of me.
Hmm.
I have not looked up too much of the story myself because I'm going to get it day one. You can pre-order it. I'm not going to pre-order it. And
no.
Yeah, get it on GOG if you're going to get it, though, people. If it's on anything else but GOG, but yeah, it'll be good. Next, there was Citizen Con, they call it, which is the Star Citizen Squadron 42 conference.
I don't know.
They went on about it. Since the conference, actually, they've gotten like another $4 million in pledges or something, like some ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
Of people pre-ordering it. Because like every time they do one of these things, all their new features do look really good and they are making progress.
Mm-hmm.
I do own it. I probably won't play it until like they've got it persistent. And what that means is they're not going to do any more server resets or anything. Like once you start playing, everything you earn, you keep.
Mm-hmm.
Until that, I don't see a point for me to play. I'm not there to test the game.
Yeah.
The end. Squadron 42, though, that looks like it's coming along really nicely. That's got, like, Gillian Anderson, Gary Oldman, like, a lot of famous people seem to be the characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
They've done that whole thing where they've made all the characters look like their voice actors, so that's all I can see when I see it.
Yeah.
We
were talking about this the other day.
We were, while watching this trailer at my brother's. So, I get why they do it. I guess it makes, like, it's good for the actor. Like, the actor gets their face out there, right? I don't think it's always good for the game.
Tell you what, though. I'd be pretty annoyed about it if I was a voice actor.
Why is that?
Because if I got into voice acting, it'd be 100%, like, so I didn't have to be on camera.
Yep.
I have no desire to be on camera. I would be happy to do voice acting, but goddamn, I would 100% be rocking up in track pants and like a hoodie and not, you know, not wanting to actually visualize what I'm performing.
Yeah. Who's the Taliesin from Critical Role? What's his actual name? It's actually Taliesin?
Yes, that's his name.
Taliesin
Jaffe.
It sounds like a fantasy name, so I couldn't remember if that was his actual name or like his character's name.
Mm.
Is that not fair?
Yeah, I think he's just, I think he's from a background of
strange people.
Well.
Anyway, he did point out on an episode of Critical.
Strange people, just like foreignish names.
He's a strange person. He's from a background of strange people. He did mention once that as a voice actor, he gets to do things like, you know, big, tough superheroes, which he could never do in, like, a film sense.
Exactly.
Because that's just not what he looks like. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you can do the voice, you can be the role without having to look like it.
Yeah, you don't have to go to the gym for 400 weeks.
Exactly.
Back to Squadron 42, though. They've got, like, because they're using the same engine, they've gotten to the part of the engine now that they think has all the parts needed to finish off Squadron 42, because the parts coming up in Star Citizen, like the new permanency and persistent stuff, is all multiplayer functionality and development that needs to be done, which Squadron 42 as a single player game doesn't need. They've gotten all like the new object culling and all that, all the technical kind of stuff that makes the game look like the game it needs to look like,
yeah,
which is all the single player part needs. So they're saying, I think they're releasing the roadmap for Squadron 42 in December from where it is now to release, which is really good.
Uh-huh.
Star Citizen, they've got a few steps until they get to the road, their road to the persistent universe, and then they got a bunch of stuff after that. I still am unsure about how successful the game will be. If people are still pre-ordering it, I guess like people are excited, or people are still pledging is what they call it, not pre-ordering, because you can actually download and play it, so it's not really a pre-order.
No, I guess not.
I just, because it's not technically released, it's early access if it's anything.
Mm.
I just used the wrong word. Yeah, so it looks really good. Like all the tech they're putting into it is really good. They're definitely passionate. They have stuffed up a lot of things and mistimed a lot of things, but who doesn't?
Mm.
So I'm hoping it's good. If it's not, that's life. And we'll move on.
Okay.
Yeah, what are
we doing? Fun fact, just so you know.
Fun facts with Caitlin. It's a new segment we're doing.
Taliesin's full name.
Oh, this would be good.
Taliesin Axelrod Jaffe. But
that's not a name.
But I think his last name, or at least his mother's last name, is Axelrod. Nina Axelrod is his mother.
Yep.
Who she, I actually think, used to be an actress by the looks of, American actress, yeah. So either they used her maiden name as his middle name, or Jaffe is just like a stage last name that he's added on. But I can't find anything else about it. But I was like, Taliesin Axelrod Jaffe.
Sounds like a lolly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's it for games coming out and games that have released that we want to talk about. So I'm going to go on to some lovely points that I think we should talk about. What are achievements for, Caitlin?
What do you mean?
Well, achievements used to be you would do something like you got three, like let's use a multiplayer game, for example, or something like that. You'd get an achievement for doing something that's hard, such as you killed three people in 20 seconds with a certain weapon or something like that, and you get an achievement for it. That's a really basic example, but like you've actually achieved something. Today, like, I can go through any number of games and I'll just get achievements for getting up to certain parts of the story. That's not an achievement. That's just I'm playing the game.
In Minecraft, where you get an achievement for punching a tree.
Yeah, that. Like, you were just playing Minecraft, weren't you?
Yeah.
I don't like that kind of achievement thing, because, like, there's people who are achievement hunters. And they're like, oh, I've got this many achievements. But, like, they're actual meaningless these days.
Yes. Because there's a lot, and I can't think of any of the games right now. But there are a lot of games, and I guess the most recent ones as well, where just by progressing through the game, you get an achievement.
Yeah, like you can get 50% of the achievements for, like, a lot of games.
And it just seems, just
from playing the game.
It seems odd. It has always seemed odd to me that, like, you were always going to get to this point.
Your achievement for getting to that point is you get to go to the next point.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be
like there was never going to be a part of you where you could finish the game and not have gotten to that part in the story, because it's literally the main story.
One could argue that it is an achievement getting to that part of the game because there's other people who haven't achieved that. But my counterpoint to that is, like, they also paid for something they're not completing.
Mm.
Like,
I just don't, it doesn't feel like that. It feels, maybe, again, it's just because of, you know, what I've grown up with, maybe, or something, where achievements were for doing something, you know, hard or odd or...
Exactly.
Like, you know, maybe... You know, maybe it is an achievement to get to certain points in games these days. But, yeah, to me it's just like to play a game in its entirety and simply get achievements for going through the game doesn't feel
to me, right. It doesn't feel rewarding.
Yeah.
It
sort of feels like if things are just going to keep popping up where... You know, I think actually Tomb Raider does it.
Yes, Tomb Raider is one that did it.
Yeah.
We were going through Life is Strange and we got some achievements just for progressing through the chapter. Yeah. And it's just like, that's cool.
The thing. Like, you just don't feel, you're sort of like, I'm just playing the game. I'm not doing anything special. I'm not going out of my way to achieve anything.
I agree. So if you are playing a single player game and there's something hard, like, on Mass Effect 3, getting the Quarians and the Geth.
Yeah, like the world peace.
To not kill each other. Yeah. Like,
which I did.
So did I. I had to. Like, I loved them. I loved them both. But, like, that's
for sure.
That's kind of an achievement. You had to do a series of things in the story to get to that point. You didn't just get it because you were progressing through the story.
Yeah. Like, there was an opportunity for you to not have that.
Like, you didn't get an achievement for, like, Commander Shepard equipped the rifle.
Yes. Ugh.
Like, stupid stuff
like
that.
Yeah, like an achievement for when you first get your bow in Tomb Raider, I think, is one of them.
Yeah, like, that's not an achievement.
Yeah, for, like, getting the weapon that you were always going to get, that you were always going to use, is, like, it's just not an achievement. And I was going to say something else.
In Tomb Raider, there should be an achievement for going through the game bow only, which I tried to do.
Bow only.
The only time I didn't is when I would run out of arrows.
Yeah, well, there's certain times where you just have to. And stealth, like, takedowns, like, close range.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
So No. I was going to say something.
You had a point? Yep.
Something about achievements. Something about... Oh, that's right. And it's unimmersive as well.
Yes, it is very unimmersive.
Like, when you're going through a story and you get to the end of that scene, like, there's, like, a big climactic scene, and then it, like, the screen goes black, and then that fucking pop-up comes up, like, boop, boop. Like, you achieve blah, blah. You know? You're... You know, and they're always, like, stupid names or whatever as well.
Yes,
and it's just like, that's super, super unimmersive. Like, not only did I not achieve anything, you've just taken me out of, like, my
immersion
and, like,
the
atmosphere of what you've just created in that scene.
Yes.
Because you've made me very aware that I'm playing a game.
So, one, I'm going to turn off achievement notifications on all my platforms.
Actually, because yeah, I think that's a good idea.
They're absolutely useless.
Mm.
Two, there was a game on Xbox once that its main selling point of why people bought it is you could get 1,000 achievement points on Xbox because, like, each game had 1,000 and each expansion for a game had 500 extra. But there was this one game. It cost, like, $20 or whatever, and you could get it and get all the achievements in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's because people are creating those, right? Games that are specifically give you just achievements.
Yes. Steam's doing something about it. Can't remember what it is. But, like, the fact that there was a game on Xbox that people bought... It was a terrible game, by the way. Like, it was absolutely terrible. I can't remember what it is. But people would buy it just for the 1,000 achievements because they wanted to get their gamer score up or whatever it was on Xbox.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I understand people are competitive... But is that just not the wrong thing to be competitive about?
Because to me that's not appeal. Like, there's no pride in getting, like, your score up to that level if all you've done is something shit like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if I'd earned all of my points. But
that
can be said
about all the people that, like, cheat in multiplayer games, right?
Well, exactly. That's my point.
But there's different cultures. Like, I've only heard this secondhand, but, like, a lot of Chinese people, like, if you can cheat and get ahead in life, that's fine. Because there's, like, their population kind of problem over there is that you need to do anything you can to get ahead in life.
Yeah, because just being good enough is not going to...
Being good at something isn't good enough.
Yeah, is not going to get you anywhere. But... Yes, but to me, that isn't a rewarding way to achieve something.
I agree. Like, for us, I agree.
Yeah, you haven't earned it.
But if you've been raised a different way.
No, but that's, like, it's still the point. Like, I mean, cheating might be acceptable in that culture, but it would still be like, wouldn't it feel better?
Not if you've been raised a different way. Like, mentally, you think it's exactly the same. You will get the same reaction in your brain as someone who doesn't like that and gets things naturally. So,
yeah, I don't know.
It's a hard thing. Anyway, moving on. Before, we were talking about game discs and stuff and how there's, like, hardly even a point for them since you download the game. Red Dead Redemption 2, its game size is 88 gig.
Gee.
At that point... Why is there even a disc that is physically printed?
Is there?
Well, yeah, you get a disc for the game.
Is it? Like, because there's some games that you literally just get a download code for.
I don't think this is one of them. PS4 was 104 gig or something, by the way. But you're going to put the disc in, maybe 16 gig or something will get...
Installed,
because they would have patched... Like, overpatched it all, because the game gets shipped and then they're still working on it.
Mm.
So you get those day one patches.
Yes.
So let's say I'm Frankie and I go buy this game and I have a terrible internet connection. I put it in. I'm not playing that game for 4 days.
No.
There was no point in me pre-ordering it. There was no point any of the stuff.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing about the discs is like you could buy a game on the day of its release, go home and play it.
Yeah.
And just be like, fucking sweet. But like these days it's like, oh, I'm going to buy the game. Like I have to actively plan around when I can like buy the game / get it downloaded. And can I do that all in time, ready for when I actually have time to play the game?
Yep.
Like I can't just be like, oh, today I feel like playing like the game that's just come out, so I'm going to go buy it, you know, or whatever. Or like any game. Like if you felt like playing a game today and you went and bought it, you know, you couldn't play it straight away.
Exactly. Also, I can buy a game on Steam and preload it if I'm like buying a pre-order, which I don't usually do.
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
But I know a lot of people that do that kind of stuff. And a legitimate thing is if you want to play it day one, like in Australia where we have terrible internet and other places where there's terrible internet, you might need to pre-order it 4 days in advance to start downloading the preload so you can play it when it comes out with your friends who might have much better internet or for whatever reason you do that. When you're buying a physical copy though, there's no preload. You have to wait till the physical store opens at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. or whatever. Mm-hmm. You'd go in, pick it up, do all that stuff, go home, put it in, and you're like, all right, now I get to wait another 4 days.
Yeah. No hype whatsoever.
Like, my spirits would be crushed at that point.
Yeah. So in that case, I guess digital pre-ordering in that sense makes a lot of sense for games that are going to be quite large and you would want ready, downloaded as soon as they are playable.
Yeah, that's one defense of it.
That would be the only situation.
We should have the infrastructure that's not the case, but that's not
I mean,
that's
not gaming's this is what I'm saying. Problem. Like, yeah, like that is a good system to have in place for what we currently have in terms of our internet and whatnot.
Yes.
In the days like when we – well, I can't even say when we fix it because, like, I'm not even 100% certain that we will ever get decent internet at this stage.
We shan't. Well, yeah,
like, because at this point now, like, they're going to have to redo all the infrastructure that they've just put in.
Yes, they are.
So I – fucking government. Yeah, so if there was ever a case where we had decent enough internet that wasn't an issue, then pre-ordering digitally is a bit stupid. But
well, there's a lot of games that even if you pre-order them, you can't preload them. So
okay, so that needs to be a thing. That needs to be a thing.
So
just across the board, that needs to be a thing. But yeah.
That is
we are living with the internet that we have.
Yeah, so even places in America, and America's like got things like Google Fiber, but there's states that have like just their shitty Verizon or whatever company that because they're the only company, they have the monopoly, and they're like, well, we don't have to upgrade anything. Why would we?
We're not giving you good stuff.
So like even then, like they have to wait and wait and wait to play a game.
Yeah,
it's. If you're going to do a physical product, make it a physical product, is my point here.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Yeah, make it. But, God, could you imagine the discs?
I could. This is a really big game.
That reminds me of, like, back in the days when games started getting, like, quite large. So you'd get to certain points and have to put in disc 2.
Skies of Arcadia was my first one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it had 2 discs.
Yeah, and it's just like... Yeah, it freezes. Menu comes up. Put in disc 2.
Yep. I think for Skies of Arcadia, you had to save because I wasn't sure. This might be different for the GameCube version, but you had to close the game down, put in disc 2, and load the save.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Trying to think of.
This is really early on in the.
What games did I have that did this?
I remember there was games in the PC era as well, as you had like 12 discs, not 12, but you'd have like 3 or 4 discs you'd have to install. So you get to a certain part of the install and install the next one. Yes. But
Sims did that.
Did it? I don't remember.
Remember
when you got Sims on a disc?
Yeah. Those were the days. That's nostalgia.
That is nostalgia.
I'm trying to remember. I can't even think of... I can vividly remember doing it. I cannot remember for what game.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, and then they'd, yeah, you'd put in...
I feel like the Resident Evils had some like that.
Probably. For the install, you'd put in, like, disc 2, disc 3, and then, like, randomly back to disc 1.
To finish it off.
Like, to finish it off. Yeah,
I remember that. Because that had the actual installer software on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the other discs are just, like, the stuff that needed to be copied over.
Good times. All right. I think we're done. So, thank you all for listening. What have you been playing this week, Caitlin? Minecraft, obviously, as well.
Minecraft, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, playing Assassin's Creed Origins. We're slowly getting through that. I mean slowly. You can see our lovely playthrough on YouTube if you feel like it. What have I been playing? I feel like I haven't played anything for like 4 days straight.
You've played Minecraft a fair bit.
I did play Minecraft.
Dota a fair bit.
Yep. I think that's it.
That
sounds like it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's what happens when you have a really busy week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. So, if you want to catch us, you can go to twitter.com/KESCast. You can search KESCast on YouTube. You can go to our website, KESCast.com. You can email us. Just, you know, if you have any questions, you want to talk to us, you want to yell at us, you want to tell us our faces are stupid, anything is welcome.
Please don't do that.
Please do. My face is the stupidest.
Okay.
All right. So thanks again. We'll catch you next time.